Okay, let's... We've been looking, for the benefit of the visitors that are with us, we've been looking at the subject of prayer over the last couple of months. And we're just going through some teaching that Jesus gave about prayer. And we're actually in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read from verse 5. Because Jesus gives us some instruction here. Now, I'm going to recap on some of the stuff that we've already looked at. But Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. You know, in that teaching, which this is really, apart from one reference in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. If you know the opening verses of Matthew 5 where Jesus says, blessed are those the Beatitudes. And in that, he tells us to... Actually, we had it. I think Brother Richie read it to us this morning. That when men abuse you and revile you and persecute you, in that day, we should pray for them. Not get offended, not retaliate, not try and scheme some way of getting back at them. But Jesus tells us to pray for them. Pray for those who spitefully use you. I think another scripture says. But apart from that one reference, this is really Jesus' first real teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus, the first things Jesus says to us, and we can read it here from verse 5, is that we are not to be like the hypocrites. You know, Jesus often accused the Pharisees of being hypocrites. He accused them for their hypocrisy. And he gave just one example here of what they used to do. Now, that they had many laws, many rules, which they insisted were kept to even the tiniest detail. And on another occasion, Jesus accused them of neglecting the commandment of God so that they could maintain these traditions which had been passed down from generation, not as Moses had given them and instructed them in the law, but they'd added to it, and they'd added all these little small intricate details, And they were neglecting, as Jesus said, neglecting God's word so that they could keep up these traditions. And one of these things they did, we read in verse 5, and Jesus highlights it. He says that they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong. Public prayer in the synagogue was expected. It was required. It was part of worship, part of their gathering, like it is in our church and churches right across the world. We come, we pray in the corporate gathering of God's people. We sing and worship. You know, we listen to the proclamation of the Word of God. But it says here, it says, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets with this motive that they may be seen by men. It was so that they received the praise of men. So men could look at them and say, aren't they wonderful? You know, they could pray prayers. You know, we know this man's a man of prayer because we've seen him in the marketplace praying, you know, and beating his chest and doing whatever they used to do. And Jesus says here, he says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They've already got their reward. They've got the praise of men. They've got the recognition that they were seeking. You know, when we pray, what we have been looking at in this subject of prayer is that prayer, and certainly what we're looking at in this actual passage where Jesus was teaching us about prayer, it's about our personal prayer. It's not talking about prayer in the public place, although that's another lesson altogether. But there is the possibility that when we come together, that when we can stand up and pray. Now, I trust this doesn't happen in our church here. But there is the possibility, and it can be, that men pray for the same reason the Pharisees prayed, to receive recognition of men. And we must be careful that we don't have that motive when we pray, or when we do anything for God, whether we are preaching, teaching, singing, testifying. It's not so that we get recognition. You know, we are not here to build our kingdom, but rather the kingdom of God.
Someone wanted to do this morning. We didn't know about it.
No.
Someone wanted to do that this morning. Building the person. So no.
Building our kingdom. Hey, welcome. So we must check our heart when we come to prayer. You know, why are we praying? Are we praying just to receive the praise of men? Which I trust not. There may be wrong motive in the way we pray. James puts it like this, that we don't receive because we ask amiss, or we ask wrongly. Having a wrong attitude, a wrong motive. Thinking that we might spend, James puts it like this, that we might spend it on our pleasures. Maybe asking for the things we need. Lord, we need this so that we could be pleased. No, no, no. Now, if we've got a need, and it's a real need, then yes, that is to satisfy us in that sense. But so many people pray, you know, Lord, send me €1 million, or £1 million, or $1 million, you know, because I'd like this. I'd like to be able to sail my yacht across the... now, if God says we need the yacht to get from, then that's a different matter. But most people, it's because they want to spend it on their pleasures. You know, they want to be able to say, God, I've got this, to wear the badge, to say that, you know, this is, I've made it. But we must check our heart. Do we hope that others will think we are spiritual when we pray? That's the wrong motive for our prayer. You know, that person must be spiritual. He must be really close to God because of his prayer. If that's our motive, then that's wrong. Is it so that we can be seen to be a good prayer warrior in the church? That's again another wrong motive. And Jesus said this is just like the hypocrites. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be heard. You know, they wanted people to look at them and give them recognition. And Jesus said they've already got their reward. They've got the recognition that they wanted. Is God going to hear that type of prayer? No. Why? Because it's prayed with not out of sincerity of heart. It's prayed with the motive that I want from others. I want this recognition. And Jesus said they've already, that prayer, in one sense that prayer has already been answered because they've got the recognition they were looking for. So Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. I'm sure he was probably thinking about the Pharisees at the time, because they're the ones he always used to have a go at for their hypocrisy. But he says, when we pray, we must go into our room and shut the door and pray to the Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If we pray in the secret place, God will reward openly. And we don't need recognition of men. We get the recognition then of God. You know, we get his seal of approval on the prayer. Why? Because God hears the prayer and he answers the prayer. You know, I'm not going to dwell too much on, because we have covered it in a previous study, but about the secret place. But there is a time and a place, and we need to be quiet. No distractions. Nothing to divert our attention. That means we don't sit and pray when we're... I'm not saying we can't, but we have a purposeful time of prayer. We don't sit when we are in the middle of an important task, unless we need help with the task. And it's, Lord, help me. But we don't look. We're not looking at the computer. The mobile phone is switched off. We don't have to be. Or driving. We don't have to be contactable. Only by the Holy Spirit. We need to contact him, and he needs to contact us. We need to hear what he has to say. But then he goes on. We'll quickly go through this. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, but he says, then don't be like the heathen. He said, verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Vain repetition, many words. Prayer should not be lengthy. Shouldn't be repetitious. That's just going over, you know what that is, that's just going over saying the same thing, time and again. It's not about following a set prayer. No. I know many people have found set prayers and prayers they find in books very helpful, and I'm not knocking those, but you know, there must come a place, a time when we come away from what's printed on a page and it comes from our heart. Because that's where true worship comes from. True prayer comes from. Jesus said that to the woman at the well in Sychar. You know, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, what is worship? What is prayer if it's not worship? You know, letting our praise and our requests be made known to God. Vain repetition. What vain repetition is just repeating the same prayer over and over again, saying the same phrases, saying the same words, over and over. Repetition. Now, it's good if we're learning. That's what we, as you know, I teach English. And that's what we get the students to do. It's repetition, repeating it over, because that's how they're going to learn. But when it comes to prayer, it should be from the heart. It should be free. You know, Jesus hears a prayer, not because of the many words or the length of it or even the structure of the prayer. Jesus doesn't hear the prayer because of the fact that we are capable of praying. Jesus hears prayers that are prayed in faith. Faith prayers. Well, someone will say, well, the scriptures tell us that we should pray without ceasing. Well, it says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think it's verse 16. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said, well, the early church were constant in prayer. Yes, they were. You know, they were always praying. But praying always doesn't mean lengthy prayers. I think it was, I may have this wrong, but I think it was the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, that says that when Jesus said that men ought always to pray, doesn't mean they ought to be 24 hours a day praying. It means they ought to be in the spirit of prayer. You know, they have a prayerful spirit. That at any given moment, we can pray. And we know that God hears us. Jesus tells us not to be like the hypocrites, not to be like the heathen. Because then he goes on, he says, you don't need to pray lengthy prayers, long prayers like that, because he says, your Father already knows the things you are asking for before you even pray. You know, that very line in that scripture, in verse 8, where it says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You know, that should give us total confidence that when we pray, that God knows what we're asking for. He knows the things we need of. So when we ask him, you know, it's not going to come as a shock. You know, I once heard somebody say, you know, when we ask, we're not going to shock God. We're not going to cause him problems. Not going to cause problems in heaven when we come and confess our sin to him. You know, that's not the first time God knows about it. The moment we actually go, sorry Lord, I've made a mistake, I've sinned, and I repent. God knew about it before we even did it. Before we even come to him and pray, God knows what's on our heart. He knows the things we're going to ask. What happens when we pray, and particularly when we repent, that's when we get rid of the sin. That's when we're cleansed of the sin. But it's not when God first finds out. You know, I've got so many things to confess. You know, God will never accept me. You think God doesn't know? He already knows. He knows the things we need before we ask him. It's not going to surprise him when you go to him and say, Lord, I need a touch from you. I need some need met. You know, so Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites, don't be like the heathen. You know, it's not about the many words we pray, it's not about the being seen of men. And then he goes on to teach us something important in these next few verses, which I've touched on last week and the week before, or whatever it was, the last time I spoke. I don't believe, because of what we have just seen Jesus teach here in verses 5-8, that Jesus necessarily meant this prayer to be prayed as a prayer as such, like we read it, we just say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, don't get me wrong, I know this prayer, again, this has helped many people. And many people have found release and help from God as they've prayed this prayer, particularly as maybe they never even really have a relationship with God. But I believe this is more of a pattern prayer.
Amen.
A pattern, guidelines to show us how to pray. It has been, in my opinion, wrongly called the Lord's Prayer. Because we have the Lord's Prayer. And again, we've touched this in John 17. The high priestly prayer of Jesus. And so, we started looking at this prayer last time, and we saw that, you know, when it shows us not just to whom we address our prayer, our Father in heaven. This is showing us a little bit more than that. It's showing us the relationship we have. You know, we have a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with Him. You know, Paul writes in Galatians that we can cry out to Him, Abba, Father. You know, this is not a distant relationship. You know, Jesus didn't have a distant relationship with the Father. He had a very close, very intimate relationship. You know, and we as, what it says in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 12, you know, because we believe in Him, we've been given the right to be called the children of God, the sons of God. We're not the Son of God, but we are His sons and His daughters. We are His children. So we have that same relationship with the Father that Jesus had with the Father. And we can go to Him and we can cry out, Abba, Father. We can cry out, as I said, the nearest word we have in the English language for that word, Abba. And even then, it's not a true definition. The nearest word is Daddy. You know, there is no translation for this word, Abba. Not that really conveys the true meaning of it. But out of this relationship, you know, we can come, we can approach God, and we can cry out to Him. And then it goes on, hallowed be your name. When we pray, we bring our prayers and petitions to the Father in the name of Jesus. Hallowed be your name. You know, there's something about the name, particularly the name of Jesus. Come with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Keep a marker in Matthew 6. We're going to come back. But come with me to John 14, verses 13 and 14. There's a great promise here from Jesus. And again, this ought to be highlighted in your Bible. Because here Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Even the killing of the mosquitoes. Got it.
I wanted to make it a barbecue.
If you ask anything in my name, what does Jesus say? He says, I'll consider it. Maybe if you've done enough good works. No, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a statement of intent. I will do it. It will be done. Now, whatever we ask Him, it doesn't mean to say, don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If we're going to ask something which isn't going to glorify God, do you think He's going to answer the prayer? Do you think He's going to do what we're asking? What we ask must be glorifying to the Father. Must be in line with the will of God. in line with the word of God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, in the Bible times, I'm sure you know this and appreciate this, a person's name meant a great deal. It indicated their nature and their character. It showed who they were. It tells a little bit of the integrity of the person. Just taking a look at, and we haven't got time to do this. I'll have to do this as a separate study. But just look at some of the names in the Old Testament. You know, you find that when the people were given their names, you know, some were given their names because the mother went through a great deal of trouble and heartache, and the son or the daughter was named in accordance with the trouble. You know, because God has blessed me. On another occasion, she called the name of a child blessing. You see it in the life of, look at Jacob. The name Jacob means one who deceives. And we see, just in the life of Jacob, how many times he deceived his brother. He deceived his father. You know, God had to change his name. He was a deceiver. And God changed his name to Israel, the Prince with God, so that God could use him. Abraham needed his name changed. Why? Because that was for another reason. Why? Because Abraham needed to constantly reaffirm that he was the father of many nations, so that God could fulfill his promise. There's a great man. We don't read much about him. It's only a couple of verses in the Old Testament. His name was Jabez. Or Jabez. Why? Do you know what the name Jabez means? Pain. You know, you can imagine all his life causing his mother pain, heartache, causing trouble for his mom, for his dad. And then he gets to the point in his life and he says, Lord, I don't want to cause anybody any more pain. Bless me. I don't want to be a pain. I want to be a blessing. There's another man in the New Testament. Paul writes about him to in Philemon. His name was Onesimus. And his name meant useless. Now, you wouldn't want a name useless, would you? I believe it was the great the actor, was he singer? Bob Hope. His name was Les Hope when he was born, and he was called Hopeless. Now, he wouldn't want it, so he changed his name to Bob. You can imagine Anita's, you know, I'm useless. But then Paul met him. And he sends him back to him and says, yes, he might have been useless, he might have been unprofitable in the past, but now he's profitable. Now he's going to, you can receive him forever. You know, what a change of character. And when we look at the name, when we look at the name of Jesus, it tells us a little bit about the nature of, and the character of Jesus and God. Again, before we go back to Matthew, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Ah, I love this scripture. Philippians 2. And we're going to read somewhere around verse 9, I think it is. Philippians 2, 9. Well, verses 5, from verse 5, we know this is talking about Jesus. Because it's telling us that he, Jesus, verse 7 says, he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Then verse 9 says, therefore God has also highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Either God has given Jesus the name which is above every name. His name is higher than any other. If you look at the original language, I think you will find that it says here, therefore God has also highly exalted him. It's again talking about Jesus. And given him, I think we've got the definite article the here. But I think you'll find in the original it has given him his name. His name. Given him his name. The name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. You know, God has given Jesus. God has given him his name. You know, there's great power in his name. No wonder Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. You know, look what happened when Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3. And as they were going up, you know, they see a man sat at the gate of the temple. Now this man had sat at the gate of the temple for years. Just think about something. I want you just to imagine this. This man had sat at the temple gate for many years. How many times do you think Jesus had walked past him? Does it say? Does it say from birth? In the scriptures. Does it say that?
Yeah, it was laid from birth.
And he was laid daily at this gate. How many times had Jesus walked past this man? Yet, this man is still laid at the gate. Now maybe it wasn't time for him, but Peter and John walked past. You know, they made eye contact. You know, he looked at them and they looked at him. And he put out his hand, expected to receive some charity, some finance. And Peter looked at this man, looked him in the eyes and says, friend, he says, I haven't got any silver. I haven't got any gold. My pockets are empty. And you can just imagine he's sort of tapping himself on the... I've got nothing, friend. He says, but I've got something you can have. Then he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus. You know what power there is in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, whatever we ask in his name, it will be done. You know, when we utter the name of Jesus, heaven gets busy. You know, the angels get busy. The Holy Spirit is at attention. Something is about to be done. Why? Because the children of God have brought a petition in that exalted name. The name that gives us direct access to God the Father. We can't have access to God. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 6, you know, no one has access to the Father except through him. You know, God exalted, raised to the highest position in the name of Jesus. And we should too. You know, Jesus is not a name to be uttered blasphemously, like, or used as a swear word, or to replace some other expletive, like many people right across the world do. You notice no one ever uses the name of Muhammad like that, or the name of Buddha like that, or the name of any other religious leader like that. But the name of Jesus, why? Because it's highly exalted. Because God has highly exalted the name. You know, when we say, hallowed be thy name. You know what this word is? It literally means to make holy or to honor the name. To honor the name. Matthew 6 verse 9, this is the verse we're looking at here. Our Father in heaven, help us. The contemporary English version says this: help us to honor your name. Help us to honor your name. You know, how can we honor or hallow the name of Jesus? One, by acknowledging who Jesus is. By acknowledging who God is. I'll give you one more scripture, and then, as I see, time's run out on us.
It says, he was lame from his mother's womb.
Lame from his mother's womb. And I would imagine from his working life, from when he was able to work, he was laid there to beg. Because there was no welfare. There was no social. Now, if you were lame, you couldn't work. But notice what happened on that occasion. You know, this man who couldn't work, Peter and John reinforce his poverty by giving him money. You know, they gave him what he really needed, the power of God to strengthen his legs. Do you know, they gave him back his self-esteem. He was able to work. He could earn. He could provide. Didn't have to sit and beg. You know, what a good God we serve. The God who does. I know the scripture says this in Ephesians, beyond all that we can ask, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. You know, God goes beyond. You know, this man was just looking at his immediate need. I need cash, a little bit of money to buy some food for the family, for the wife. But Jesus gave him much more. You know, the name of Jesus, you know, as Peter and John ministered to him, he got his whole life back. Not just the healing of his legs, but, you know, he got that self-esteem, he got the ability to work. But to finish with, we're going to look at, just come with me to 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16. There's just a few books before the Psalms. One Chronicles 16, verse 29. 1 Chronicles 16:29. It says this: give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give the Lord the glory due his name. You know, we should honor the name of the Lord. You know, we've been looking at this on a Wednesday night, as the pastor's been going through. You know, just looking at, you know, the name. We looked at some last week. Let me just run through some of the names of God, because it shows us a little bit. I promise I will just be 2 minutes. You know, the Bible uses many names to express the nature and character of God. You know, part of our prayer and worship to God is to give the Lord that which is due his name. So when we acknowledge who he is, now you'll see that God revealed himself to different people, Moses, Abraham, and others. And he showed them one aspect of his character which they needed at that moment. And we see in the scriptures, one of the names that God revealed himself to was Jehovah Jireh. You know, the Lord who sees and provides. Jehovah Jireh. Then there is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, the healer. Abraham, when he was offering Isaac, didn't need to know God as Rapha. He needed Jehovah as Jireh. He needed to know that God would provide the lamb. God would meet the need. But the people in the wilderness that were bitten by the snakes needed to know that God was Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Then there's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God of righteousness, our righteousness. Jehovah Nissi, our banner, our captain. Jehovah Roy, the shepherd. Jehovah Makadesh, the sanctifier. You know, all these, and there are many more. We haven't got... I'll have to do a study on the names of God one day, but... You know, we can honour God by reverencing his name. Reverencing the name of Jesus. It's a name to be honoured and hallowed, because it's a holy name. God is holy. You know, so when we come and pray, we pray, directing our prayers to God the Father, our provider, our healer, our sanctifier, Jesus, our Redeemer, our Saviour, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have his name given in Revelation. And we direct our prayers in the name of Jesus. Because that's the highest name that there is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word.